Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Zach Taylor of Van Bellman. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Woo. Greetings
going,
and salutations.
Brother?
Going great.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
good
to
see
you guys.
Stuff.
Last time I saw you guys, I believe, was on a big ship.
Big boat.
And
big boat.
It's fun to see you virtually as well. How's everyone doing?
Doing pretty well.
Doing great.
We've actually seen you after the boat, right after the boat. We were at a American Authors show where you all killed it.
In Philly.
Beautiful. In Philadelphia, that's right. That was so fun. It was a horrible rainy day, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And a highlight of that show was someone had the audacity to go on their phone while you were doing a solo and you went...
That's right. Amazing. I only get a couple of fun spot lit solos. So this one girl was just at the front. She was just like... It's like Matt's playing keys. And I'm doing like just like my, you know, kind of emo blues thing. And I, you know, really trying to dig into it. This girl's going tick, 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 tick. And I'm like, you know, I want to.
Not today.
I didn't want to like, you know, embarrass her. But at the same time, I thought it'd be fun if I just sort of booped her cell phone with the headstock of my guitar. And she's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I was just telling my friend to come to the front of the stage. So I think it was a cute moment. I was trying not to be mean, but. What are you going to do? You know, it's live, baby.
It was well done. It was well done.
All right,
done.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
I don't remember that. I probably had too many cocktails.
It happens.
Dude, so, you know, congratulations for you and American Authors coming back on the boat, 25.
Thank you. It's We're awesome. Stoked.
The whole boat was stoked that night.
Excellent. That's going to be, it's going to be so fun. We had serious FOMO last month not being on the boat after having done it. Just over a year ago. And we talked to some of our rock boat friends. They said it was great. They mentioned some new bands that they never heard of that I've been told to check out. Hotel Fiction, I heard, was great. I heard Fox Royale was great. I heard Young the Giant was great.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to meet some folks next year and, you know, hang out with our buddies, walk the moon, hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
Get really sunburned, make some poor decisions on when we hit Belize and Honduras, you know, never know happens. What's going to happen on the rock boat, baby.
Oh, where we're going?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I don't even pay attention to the destination nope. anymore.
I was told yesterday, so that's fresh in my brain. So
nice.
If you guys have any questions, just let me know. I'm happy to,
got it.
Happy this to is... assist with any and all rock boats.
We have so many, so many.
I'm a font of knowledge.
So, you know, you got to also play with your band, Van Bellman, on the last time you were on the boat. And I remember seeing you, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you did like the night before as well, right? The pre-party?
I sure did, yeah. At the Blackbird in downtown Miami. It was me and Zach Person. It was so fun.
Okay, yes.
There's a handful
very intimate.
Of... Yeah.
And, it's a good time.
That was a great time. And my folks were there. So that was fun to play for them.
Did they get to go on the boat?
They did not get to go on the boat. They're just there because they spent some time in Florida because they're in their 70s. I think it's the law now. Once you hit a certain age, you just have to spend time in Florida. I think that is part of the Constitution now. So it's great to play for them and hang out with Zach Person, who I've hung out with since then, who's just a rad dude, amazing guitar player and singer. And that was great to meet some rock boaters and then give them a sneak preview of the full band show I got to do on the boat.
Nice.
It was great, man.
Yeah, you did an awesome job on the boat, and that's, you know, I mean, I can never say enough about Six Man and the talent that they picked to bring on the boat, and it goes to show. And I'm interested, what's the genesis of you and American Authors, and how did that relationship forge?
Well, we go back to about 2007 or 8. That was my first year at the Berklee College of Music in Boston. And they had been there already for a semester or two. And we were just buddies. Both me and the other Zach wrote for the school paper. and they would play at, you know, TT the Bears or like the Paradise. And I would go see them play when they were called the Blue Pages, and they would come see me play. I was back then, I was just going by the Zach Taylor Show. And at some point it was Zach Taylor and the Drugs. I've had a lot of strange names. It's always been a work in progress. But yeah, we all moved to New York in like 2010, 2011. And we were just buddies, you know, we're comrades in the music business trying to slug it out. Everyone was working at a restaurant. I was a bellman at a fancy hotel. Nice. That's kind of where the name Van Bellman comes from.
Yeah.
And we were just buddies. And just, you know, again, like I would see them play, they'd see me play. And then they had that song, well, a couple songs like Believer and Best Day of My Life sort of started to take off and stuff. I'm like, wow, it's so cool. I've known these guys. They've worked so hard for so long. And, you know, it's one of those things. You always hear that story. It seems like an overnight sensation, but like the overnight really lasts 6 or 7+ years of grinding it out. Yeah. And, you know, honing in on your craft and meeting the right people and getting your music in the right place and being in that moment to like, to be able to get that moment and to get that opportunity, it takes a lot of work. And those guys have always been amazing hustlers. And once they were able to hire an extra like utility musician to play guitar, banjo, mandolin, piano, what have you, they called me. And I was like, sweet. Yeah, I'm in. Totally. And so, that was right.
And that's a nod to you and your craft, you know, and how good you are.
Well, thank you for that. And also they had seen me, because we were buddies, they'd seen me play all those instruments with a bunch of different bands. So they figured like, all right, he can figure this stuff out. And that was right when Best Day was taken off. So that was like right when they were about to do the Ellen Show and Conan O'Brien. We did like one of the last David Letterman shows, which was amazing.
Nice.
And we got to perform Best Day of My Life as a human centipede on the Eric Andre Show, which was one of my crowning achievements of life, if I do say so myself. So it was a lot better than being a bellman at the fancy hotel. I will tell you that much.
So, you know, for the listeners out there, can you walk us through what it's like? Like how do you, you know, manage your music and then being out there with another band?
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's, especially like post pandemic, everything's sort of been strange. You know, everyone went away for, 1 to 2 years, depending on, you know, regionally where venues opened up again. So everything's kind of sort of crawling back to normalcy. And, before the pandemic, I typically would just, you know, American Offers was so busy with so many different songs and tours and stuff. So we would typically tour for a couple months, then we'd have a month or two off. And I would just try my best to book a show when we had downtime. And, you know, it's playing with, you know, playing with American Offers is great. Playing with my band is like my favorite thing to do in the world ever. And everyone else in my band, the bass players and drummers and keyboard players, they're all like me. They all play for like more marquee names and they're all amazing musicians. And they're all kind of difficult to get a hold of and to find those windows of time where they can play. And so it's always a juggling act, but, but it's great. You know, it's as Chris Martin said, nobody said it was easy. It's my friend. He's in a band called Coldplay. You should get them on the Rock Boat. I think they would do pretty well. I'll text him.
I think they do all right.
Yeah. He's been begging Chris to get on the pod. We just got to find time for him.
It was, I had to move Elton John and Coldplay. It was just, we're having a real schedule conflict right now.
Let me text Elton. I'll text Elton as well. So,
Do you know that he doesn't have a phone? He doesn't have a cell phone.
He has people that take care of that for him.
Yeah, that's amazing. I saw that the other day. He has a tablet. That's it. And his bodyguard has a cell phone.
What a beautiful life that must be.
So I'll text his bodyguard, I guess. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Kevin Costner.
Did I answer your question? I sort of went on some tangents there.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's always awesome to hear. I mean, because everybody's journey is different in the music industry, and I think it's just neat that. And it again, kudos to you and your ability to multitask like that with the band American Authors and your own band. And I think that's just, you know, just another nod to you and your journey in the music industry. And you know, I just think it's, I think it's awesome. And I know that, like, so like the places that you had mentioned that you've been on with American Authors and going to different venues for yourself and your band, what's one thing about your experience on the Rock Boat that just kind of like blew you away with the professionalism with Six Man and the organization?
It's a really eclectic group of both bands and people on board. And I thought that was great. I wasn't sure how it was going to be. And there, it's a rock boat, but within that framework, you know, there was some like more folky people. Yep. There are some people who did more modern elements. There's some bluesy folks. There's some young folks, some middle-aged folks, some old folks. And after having gone to music school in Boston and then living in New York City and now living in Los Angeles, you know, I'm used to people being so cool. And I don't mean that in a good way. Everyone's so cool and you play and everyone's everyone's just like, you know, everyone's cooler than cool in all these places. And I certainly have been guilty of trying to be one of the cool kids. But the Rock Boat, there's just like the people who are there have no pretense and they just love music. And they're from all over the country. And after doing the first Rock Boat, we'll play in Philadelphia. We saw you guys. And then we'll play in Kansas City, see some other Rock Boaters. And we go to, you know, Washington. We see the Lombardos and all of their crew. And, you know, we're just welcoming with open arms. Yeah, I saw him the other day. He said he had a good time on the podcast. Shout out Michael Lombardo.
Shout out to Michael.
And you just go all over the country. And these people who, you had a margarita with in the Caribbean 8 months beforehand, they're there. And it's just great to see them. And they buy records and they buy T-shirts and they just love music. It just feels like you're kind of traveling back in time before streaming services and the whole dichotomy of the music industry changed. It's a really refreshing experience to play music for people who really enjoy it.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And it's like a big family. We use the F word a lot, family. And, you know, and it's so nice. And like for the artists that are listening, that are going to be on the boat, it's just like, everybody's so respectful of each other. You know, you could be walking through the casino at 3 a.m. and, hey, you want a drink? Sure. You know, nobody's like down your throat for photos and autographs. There's a time and a place for that. And it's so great how I think everybody respects that, that dynamic. And not only that, like, it's such a well-oiled machine. You know, you get up on stage and your stuff's there. You're good to go.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
And speaking of refreshing, right, I think as a fan, It's very refreshing when we go see you guys in concert, and just you guys as a band, the camaraderie between you all, like during the show, and how close you guys are just as like friends, really kind of like embodies like the whole show. Like I brought a couple friends to that Philly concert who I was just like, yo, you got to just come to this show. And, afterwards they were like, you got to tell me like whenever you're going to another show, cause we'll come. Cause they just had such a good time. And it's just you guys up there, you know, putting on an excellent show. You're all excellent at your crafts, but the camaraderie is just like, not many bands have that. I don't think
we've known each other for a long time and we've done a million shows together. And, you know, if you're not having fun on stage, how do you expect the audience to have fun?
True.
Exactly.
And the way we've been doing it. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was going to say, and we as fans and music lovers can see that too.
And the way we've been doing it lately is, you know, sometimes you have a big pop production, you have some elements, some like electronic elements that sort of enhance the big show that go along with the lights. Maybe there's an extra kick drum or an extra synth pad. And, you know, I would say most modern bands do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the way we've been doing it for the last couple of years is all stripped down, all acoustic, no nothing else, just us. We got four people playing things. We got four voices, and there's nowhere to hide. So it's been a great way to sort of pare back and really, really kind of narrow in on the story of the song and who's going to do the harmony. and the dynamics and the ebb and flow of a live performance. And I've really been enjoying that element of the new American Authors Show.
You know, let's switch gears. Let's talk about your own creative process for Van Bellman. When did you start to realize that you're capable of writing music?
Well, it's been when I was like 5 or 6, I wanted to be on the Atlanta Braves. And then when Same. I was 7, 8, or 9, we're gonna audition. We're gonna try out next year. We're gonna audition for the Braves. After that, I wanted to be in the X-Men. I never got an audition for that. But then when I turned like 10 or 11 and I learned who Kurt Cobain was, it was just like guitar. This is it. And
yeah,
that I sort of stopped there since I was 10 years old. My brother played guitar. He was the one who like mowed lawns and saved money to buy a Squire Strat. Then he got bored, started playing football. And I just sort of took it over and was obsessed and remain obsessed to this day. And I played in a bunch of bands in high school, played in a bunch of bands in college. After I went to University of Georgia with great music scene. And after that, I wanted to take my music more seriously. So I went to Berklee College of Music and met those guys. And all the while, I was my sort of role in most bands has been the lead guitar player. And then I would write songs kind of just for me because I enjoyed writing songs. And as years went on, I sort of, for the last like probably 10 years or so, I started to take it more seriously. And I've really tried to dive into kind of what I want to say and how I want to say it with sounds and sort of blending genres of like, I was a big blues kid growing up. So when I was in like high school, there was like a blues jam in downtown Atlanta for high school kids. And it was unbelievable. We had to go and play like with a real blues band, with a real audience. And that's sort of where me and a few friends, we sort of cut our teeth. And I've always sort of kept that blues element near and dear to my heart whenever I'm writing a new song. It always has to have some sort of grit or some sort of,
yeah,
you know, sort of gnarly guitar-based element. And in the last, I started Van Bellman, I think in 2018 was my first single. And sort of, most people would say like, all right, do 5 songs that are exactly the same. That's what the marketers want. That's what people want. Yeah. That's what you need to do. And that never really made sense to me to do. So for better or for worse, I've always tried to write a song and produce it in a unique way. So each of my songs is sort of a fun little sampler platter of like, okay, this one's more blues. This one's more rock. This one's more indie. This one sounds like Sufjan Stevens. This one sounds like Talking Heads. And that's just how they come out. I sort of want them to be born how they want to be born and not try to follow a formula, but also sort of stay true to my own sort of sound. Does any of that make any sense at all?
It does, at least from looking at the single covers, the artwork. There's a common theme there, but they're all unique in their own way.
Beautiful. I'm glad you noticed that, Mark. That was not that was not accidental.
Mark's good about picking stuff up like that.
Atta baby.
So talk to us a little bit about that. Who does the artwork for you?
My wife is a wonderful photographer. So she does all my photos. She also has been shooting the Foo Fighters lately.
Nice.
They're a band. Their lead singer used to play drums in this other band. I forget their name. And, you should get them on the Rock Boat. They'd be great. I'll text Dave is the singer's name. I'll text him. She's great. My friend Brian, who's in a band called Middle Part, did the cover artwork for my new EP, Feelers. And he's a great guy, great musician, great graphic designer. Shout out, Brian. And so all the singles you see on Spotify, each like song has its own little unique symbol. And the EP artwork itself, which comes out on 3/11, no relation to the band. 3/11. Coincidental. Completely coincidental. Or is it? Amber was the color of your... Sorry. Tangent.
It sticks.
We saw them last year for the first time live.
Oh, really?
And man, the bass solo that was impressive.
Those boys can play. We also, speaking of Eric Andre, he always does this bit where, like, instead of investigate 9/11, he does investigate 3/11. That's a long-running joke. Me and the Office boys have a lot of inside jokes that mainly have to do with Eric Andre and also the show I Think You Should Leave. That's for another discussion. But where were we? Yes, artwork. So they all of the single artworks sort of come together in the EP artwork, kind of like, you know how like Transformers are like their own little thing, and then they come to make that huge one big Transformer.
Yep.
Power Rangers also did the same thing. That's kind of what my artwork is doing for the artwork cover. You'll see. I think you're going to enjoy it, especially you, Mark, with that eye of yours. I see you.
You know, can't wait.
Hey, that's some fun artwork behind you. I just now noticed.
Oh yeah, you see that?
Look at those handsome boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, question: Who's you know the best looking? Which Zach?
I mean, I think let's just
we'll
say
make that
obvious.
A poll when we post.
Please, I would love to take the Pepsi challenge: Zach Taylor versus Zach Barnett. Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. My mom thinks it's me.
Oh,
you know, there's something for everybody in American Office. But to be clear, it's definitely me.
Cool. So, you know, 311, your new EP is coming out, Feelers. You know, walk us through, how did you land on the name? How long have you been working on this?
So a lot of these songs came from pandemic co-writes. Nice. One song I did called Fate Lies Ahead, I wrote with Zach Barnett via Zoom when I was still in New York and he was in LA. And another one I wrote with my friend Jenny Magana called Coney Island Kids. She was in LA already and I was still in New York. And the rest I wrote on my own. And I wrote probably, I don't know, 20 or 30 songs. And
wow,
I just sort of picked my favorite batch of seven that kind of worked well together. They're not all, like I said, they're not all rock, and they're not all blues, they're not all this or that. It's like a fun sampler platter, like a charcuterie platter. You know, you want some cheese, yeah. You want some meat, you want a little olive oil dipping sauce, you want some honey, mm-hmm. You want some salami. You want that honey in there. So
maybe
these seven
olive.
Songs sort of, they work well together. And the title Feelers, if you put all the songs in order, you could sort of do a crossword puzzle of F-E-E-L-E-R-S. And the order in which they've been released, they sort of spell Feelers if you go down. And also,
awesome.
it's sort of like I've been releasing one single at a time for the last couple of years. So I'm literally putting Feelers out into the world to see maybe people like this bluesy, grungy one. Or maybe people like this more heartfelt one, or maybe people like this darker one. And, you know, I want to put out my favorite songs that work the best, but I also want to know what's resonating with people to kind of like, how can I give more of what they like to them? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why it's called Feelers, putting Feelers out, and also the sort of crossword puzzle. It's all very cute.
Like it. Nice. And so will me, you know, the three of us are big vinyl collectors. And would this, is that maybe in the future for this?
It would be nice to feel Feelers.
Well, when Boom. You put it like that, Mark. right now, so Feelers comes out in its entirety on March 11th. And right now I've just gotten the first batch of mixes from my next EP, which will come out later this year, called Howlers. And
nice.
Believe it or not, if you line up all the songs together, you can spell out the word Howlers. So
that's awesome.
I think I'm going to wait. Cool. I'm going to do side A, Feelers.
Nice.
Side B, Howlers on a vinyl record coming soon to a Tower Records near you. Probably
that's
later
awesome.
In the year or maybe next year. And it might have to be a double vinyl thing because you can only have like 20 or so minutes per side. So I think I'll do like a special edition Feelers and Howlers vinyl situation with maybe some B-sides and maybe some the original demo recording on there. I always love those.
That is so cool.
pretty much every song started with a voice memo that I recorded on this iPhone.
Oh, nice.
That's kind of how I do it. I sort of like, I like to get down with a real pad and pen, iPhone on airplane mode, and write verse, chorus, sing it into the phone, and then stop there, turn the page, and then do it again. I try to do one or two or three songs every day if I have time. And then after about a month, I've got dozens of songs that I sort of go through. And usually it's pretty obvious which ones raise their hands to be part of the Van Belman catalog. And sometimes it's like, all right, well, that was just a silly ditty for that day. And we can just sort of let that one exist only on my iPhone. That's sort of how my process works. So, and nice. if I could just get way ahead of myself for a second. So I've got Feelers coming out and then Howlers coming out. And the next one I want to do is going to be a three EP situation. And it's going to be based on the 24 hours of a day of a bellman at a fancy hotel in New York City, which is, you know, again, where the name comes from. It's going to be eight songs for the AM shift, maybe more bright and sunny poppy songs, eight songs for the PM shift, kind of dark and sexy and moody songs, and then eight songs for the overnight shift. All like the weird screwball songs where I don't know what to do with, like the weird, like sort of Tom Waitsy folk songs that would never be a single or never be a music video. I often love those songs. So when I hear like the weird track 10 or 11 on one of my favorite records, it's like, that's not the single, but that's the one that you discover after you've listened to the record, you know, a dozen times. That becomes like your song. You know what I mean? So
totally.
It's fun for me to organize these bodies of work with sort of monikers and like EPs. To me, it makes sense to kind of, you know, give people a sort of a sampler platter, like I said.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so, and I love how thought out and how far in advance, and I'm sure a lot of artists do that, but to hear it, you know, in this conversation, that's so cool. That's badass. That
keeps you busy. Yeah. Keeps you busy, and it gives me deadlines. Deadlines are good.
And you get to increase your iCloud storage. So,
if you picked a good baseball team, you could have called it like the Liberty Bellman or something.
Ooh,
I'll think about that for maybe a side project or the DJ remix.
We're big Phillies fans, so we apologize if you're still a Braves fan.
Oh yeah, well I apologize that we won the World Series a couple years ago, and you guys won it. When was the last one?
2009.
Any day
was
now.
Actually at the game where we lost, or right before.
So you know, going back to the beginning of the conversation with the Rock Boat and the Rock Boat family. And I'm for, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if we already covered this, but going, you know, people showing up and supporting artists. Have you seen more Rock Boaters now at your shows than you did, you know, has it increased or has it always been pretty consistent? Okay.
For sure. Especially now that American Offers has done two, we get more and more people and they bring us, some nice folks in Oregon brought us some nice Oregon Pinot Noirs and some Voodoo Donuts, which is always a nice treat.
Oh, nice.
The last tour we did, well, the one we did about a year ago, Van Belman got to be the solo opener for the tour as well.
That's so cool.
So I appreciate the American Offers boys letting me double dip, as they say.
Yeah, that's just so cool that's just all going great for you like that. That's just humbling to hear that, you know, artists have each other's back like that. I like it. I think it's badass.
It's a long day of work when I get to open and then also play with them, but I wouldn't trade it. I definitely have to, you know, make sure I exercise and hydrate and don't party too much the night before, because that's a, you know, to play 30 or 40 minutes with just me and then 2 hours with those guys, it's great. But, you know, you gotta mind your P's and Q's and make sure you're in tip-top shape. Apparently, Beyonce does her whole show on the treadmill for like months before getting to those big arena shows.
Huh.
I should text her
before I get on the rock boat.
Maybe Beyonce could be in the rock boat.
That's too funny.
She's too country now.
Yeah.
Is she though? I think
not even close.
If you know, if she needs a banjo player for the new country gig, Beyonce, call me.
You know,
I'll text her as well.
I love the banjo, by the way.
Such a great sound.
It's a funny instrument, isn't it? It's very clumsy. And you know, I've only been at it for a few years, and you know, it's close to guitar. Left hand with frets is pretty close, but the right hand using finger picks and just like, it took a lot of practice just getting the roll down. And because the banjo has 5 strings, it's always uneven. That's why it always sounds so kind of clumsy and rolling. That's why it's sort of like, it's such like a wacky element when you hear it in the song, and that's why it sticks out so much.
You know, you have your sea legs on you for the boat now, right? So,
oh yeah.
What advice would you give if there's an artist that's listening to us that's going to be on the boat for the first time? What advice professionally would you give a new virgin artist on the boat?
Make some fun merch. Rock boaters love having merch. Make friends, everybody, because you know you could do a house show outside of Chicago. When the next time you're on the road, you could do a house show outside of Houston. Next time you're on the road, you can have people put you up and cook you breakfast or dinner, and it's just an amazing resource. Again, when the music industry, everyone's so cool, you know, everyone wants to be, you know, if you're not Ed Sheeran, then no one gives a shit about you in a lot of ways. But that's just what you see. It's not true. That's just what that's what Instagram and TikTok want you to believe. If you're not in the upper echelon, then no one cares. And it's just absolutely not true. And the Rock Boat is just a great example of real people who will come to your shows in real life and buy a real t-shirt and tell all their friends about you and your music. And it's just such a difficult time in the music industry if you're not Beyonce or Ed. And it's just the Rock Boat and the community is a great resource to just to do it, just to be able to make a living as a musician. It's unbelievable to have this as a resource.
Yeah, we've had artists even say that, right? Like, you know, sometimes the grind is very difficult for a lot of artists, that like to keep going gets very difficult, like if they don't have these moments like the Rock Boat kind of provides for them, to just see how much people like love their music, and it like kind of punches them with like a new sense of like being, you know,
for sure.
Like this is why we, you know, we might have lost sight of why we're doing it, but this reels it back in.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm guilty of this myself. It's like, well, if I didn't get, you know, 100,000 views on TikTok, or if my latest single didn't stream 1 million in the first day, then I'm a failure. And it's just it's easy to look at your numbers, and you know, they say comparison is the thief of joy. And when you compare yourself to these big numbers, and it's hard not to do because the numbers are always right in your face. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify. And if you just take a step back and have the ability to play a song for people in a room and have them, you know, give you the love and passion that you're giving them in real time, you know, that's what it's all about. The Rock Boat is a great way. It's a great reminder of that, like, you know, rock and roll and the whole symbiosis of music is alive and well.
You know, I while we're on this subject, I got a piece of mail today from a fellow rock boater that I had completely forgot about. And so I want to give a shout out to a rock boater named Jen Crawford from Texas. And she made these, they look like concert tickets, but it was from this past boat, but they're magnets. So,
excellent.
I got one in the mail today. So shout out to Jen Crawford. So, but yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome. And I'm so happy that you have your EP coming out. And for those who want to pre-save it, it's in the link attached to this episode. Zach, where else can people go to find your music?
I have vanbellman.com. And most of my social media is Zach Van Bellman. So the way it works is, so I'm the singer, so I'm Zach Van Bellman. And Chris, if I hire you to play, what do you want to play in the band?
The banjo.
When I hire you, Chris, to play a banjo, you'll be Chris Van Bellman. And Eamon, what do you want to play?
Let's go with the hype man. I'll be the hype man.
Eamon Van Bellman, the hype man. I could use a good hype man. I really could. And Mark,
everybody could use a good hype man.
Mark,
I'll do
rhythm
guitar. That's my comfort zone.
I'm gonna be on your ass because I'm a guitar player. I'm gonna make sure your shit's together.
You know,
Mark
what?
Van
I
want to
change it. I want to be the guy in charge of making sure everybody's hydrated.
I thought you heard that Zach is gonna be on my ass. I thought you wanted to be a rhythm guitar, Chris.
You guys, all right.
That's awesome.
Well, we'll have band practice next week. I'll send you guys all the tabs and all the lyrics
so
you can practice.
Our interview with Beyonce.
I'll text. I told you, I'm gonna text her. Oh, let's see. I got to text
I just
Beyonce.
Elton. He's not getting
Ed,
back.
Ed, Elton's bodyguard.
Elton, Chris Martin. So I'll text all these guys. They'll all be in Rockboat 2025. You heard it here first. Rockboat 2025 featuring Van Bellman and also maybe Beyonce. I think we just made some big news.
Yeah, you're making Six Man's job real easy for them.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to get a cease and desist letter. It's awesome.
Rockboat, cease and desist, 2025. That'd be a good theme. Do they have a theme yet?
It's a good
morning. That'd be great. Yeah, exactly.
They gave me all my money back for the cruise for next year. That's weird. Zach, yes. Thank you so much for swinging by and chatting with us about the boat, your new EP, which comes out on 311. And you know, your energy, I can't wait to see you hopefully before, but if not to see you back on the boat and with American Authors, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be special. There's going to be so many amazing moments to hang out and catch up. And, yeah, I'm just super excited, man.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. This is a lot of fun.
So much fun, and looking forward to being in, say, the Spinnaker with 500 other people that are just singing every word to feelers and just knowing Van Bellman and making you feel like the rock star you are.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that, and so will my mom when I tell her you called me a rock star on the radio.